Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, September 10th. We're back with you. Very hot outside. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
What are we going to do with this heat? It's getting hotter every day, they're saying.
I don't know.
And it feels like it, too.
When is it going to stop?
I don't know.
It was like 98 degrees at midnight last night.
At midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
That's like Vegas weather, you know? And, it's been like 110 during the day here. You can't do anything, even in the shade. It makes you so tired.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel like you're carrying on weight. At least that's the way it feels for me. And I constantly just want to sleep, you know? I don't know how people live with this. Like, I mean, I lived in Vegas, and I don't know how I ever managed in this heat.
Isn't Israel this hot?
No. There's just like the Dead Sea area where it's the lowest point in the world. It can get hot there sometimes, but not in the cities and stuff. But interestingly enough, they've had like this dust storm covering like the entire country pretty much.
In Israel?
Yeah. And people are saying, you know, it's like the sky is red almost. And I saw a picture from a satellite, and it's just bizarre to see a sandstorm right over Israel and nowhere else. So
that
maybe
is
this
strange.
Is biblical. Maybe. Biblical or something, you know.
Maybe the people watching Israel are trying to warn certain people that it will still be around.
Right. We hope so, right?
Yes.
Especially in light of the announcement from the Iranians.
Right.
Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty sad. I mean, you know, they're saying there will be no such thing as Israel in 25 years. Well, you know, this is not the first time that there have been threats there. And, I mean, and the New Deal doesn't really change the fact that, the nuclear deal is... the nuclear situation is real there, you know. Regardless of the deal, they're going to do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
So... just imagine, you know, I mean, so many people try to kill just a few million people, and they'll stop at nothing. And
it's so strange to me to have that much hate and also, like, to publicly say things like that, like with him thinking there won't be repercussions.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know why they're saying that? They called Israel a one-bomb country, whereas you only need one to wipe it out.
Right.
Right. So that's why this is so dangerous, you know, and that's what people don't understand. It's an existential threat. It's not just like we're sitting here and a bomb's going to go off. They have ballistic missiles that can get here, too. So and it's just going to change the entire world, not just the Middle East. When a country is going to use a nuclear bomb. And the reason he's saying 25 years is because that's when the deal is going to be up. You know, so I thought it was shorter than that, but that's what they're saying, you know.
Well, 25 years is a long time, but also to know that you're still going to hate people in 25 years.
Yeah.
Like to plan on having hatred within you and your country for 25 more years.
Right.
And not expecting things to change, not expecting... I mean, is he even going to be alive in 25 years?
No, he won't. But his legacy, I'm sure, is going to continue.
Right.
You know, unless something happens. But, but you got to take him seriously. You know, I mean, this is scary stuff. You know, you got to just imagine living under that threat all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. So these are the people we're making deals with that still call us the great Satan and... you know, so I just don't understand how come there's so much support for the deal when so many people are against it. But this president obviously gets to do whatever he wants. He's got quite a pull, and he's pretty popular in many circles. So he gets his way, and he promised he's going to transform America, and he sure has. You know, there's no doubt about it. But the biggest complaint about him is that he's making America look weak. And I think that's true. You know, I mean, it's like kissing ass to everybody, you know. And it's such a complex thing, you know. It's easy just for me to sit here and talk, but I need a debate on this, you know. And we'll see, you know. I mean, it's like there's so many different aspects to it, you right. know, and stuff. And, of course, I read about this stuff all the time, so I have a lot to say. And I'm seeing things that most people don't see when you start going back in history and seeing all the things the president has said and stuff. You
well,
know?
Maybe
and,
you should run for politics.
I know. I was thinking about that. You know, people have always told me that, but I don't think I want to, Jen. You know?
Why?
I don't know. It's a thankless job, I think, and I don't know that I'm qualified. You know, I mean, I don't know what it takes to be a politician. I don't know that I'd want to be. You know, so maybe I'll just be like a commentator on TV or something.
Okay. Or on Facebook, you like to post there too.
Yeah, commentator on Facebook. Well, that's a place where everybody becomes a celebrity. You know.
Right. I mean, you could have a blog.
Yeah.
And you could focus on politics.
Yeah, but then you have to promote the hell out of it and stuff, you know.
I mean, you don't have to. You could just put it there, and whoever finds it, and right. link it to your Facebook.
Right. Okay.
It's just an option.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Makes sense. But, yeah, Facebook, man. I mean, people, like, say all kinds of things there, and it's... sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't get offended by things, so it's not like I get offended, but I get angry sometimes at the things that people do. You know, pictures of dead children, things like that, you know. It's not, you know, if you noticed, I mean, Facebook for the most part is self-policing, you know. I mean, if you want to stick a few naked pictures in there, you can, at least until somebody reports it.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens, you know. People put pictures of... I don't know, gross things, and I don't want to have to look at it, but that's Facebook for you, you know?
Right.
Everything happens there.
You could also unfollow people.
I know. Well, but you don't know until you see the picture, you know, then you go, and besides, it's like, it doesn't mean that that person's always going to post things like that,
right.
you know, but people try to get a reaction from other people.
They sure do.
Yeah. In a few minutes, a guest is going to call in. I believe he's in L.A., and he was going to come in, but then we made it into a phone interview. So he's going to call in, and that's going to be pretty interesting, the things that he does. So, the Iranian thing is definitely worrisome to me, and I don't see how, you know, any other country in the world that would be threatened this way, it would not be allowed, you know. And it just, you know, and like I said, the more I read, the more I realize how many double standards there are towards Israel, you know.
Right.
And my biggest question is why, you know. And some people have theories, you know. I happen to think that I think that there's a lot of envy involved. You know, Muslims... need other people to be subdued. They can't have people above them or something, you know. And I think just the fact that Israel has progressed so much in, you know, 60-some years and achieved such great things, I think it bothers a lot of people, you know, and especially people that were hating Israel before. So I think it's a question of envy, really. And, you know, nobody can prove anything else.
You don't think it goes back to, like, the days of the Bible and whatever was written to start?
It could be. But, like, what, for example?
Well, I don't know because I don't study the Muslim religion. But I thought that they, like, that they've hated Jews for a very long time. I mean, this is not just since Israel started.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Jews in general, I guess. Right. I didn't explain that. Not just Israel, but Israel represents that, you know. So,
I mean, imagine what the world would look like if there was no hating other religions in the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And then that history wasn't passed along to other generations.
Right. But, you know, I mean, religions are different. We can't lump them all in one place, you know. I mean, the thing is some religions seek out other people to destroy them, and some religions are not like that.
Right.
You know, and when Muslims go back to the Crusaders, I mean, okay, so that was one time and it's so long ago. But the problem is right now, all these problems are created by Islamic extremists. And it's not like some people are saying, oh, that's not Islam and stuff. You go into the Quran and you see that all these things are supported, you know, and encouraged. So, and we're being fed lies, you know. So I don't know, man. It's just that's, you know, that's why when we look at candidates and stuff, I think that's why Donald Trump is leading, because he's shown some courage, I think, in a way. But he keeps putting his foot in his mouth.
Doesn't seem to matter. His votes with like Republican women are going up.
Right. And you know what? I know why it doesn't. Well, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, initially when he says these things, I'm like, why is he saying these things? I mean, he's like setting himself for failure. But he just can't help himself, you know. But these are like things I'm willing to overlook. I mean, we've overlooked a lot of things that have to do with the current president. You know, so being straight and in your face doesn't bother me. You know, what I'm concerned with is someone to restore America to its strength. And there's nobody else, you know, although I would go for Ben Carson. I mean, I like him, and his politics are similar to Trump's as well. It's just that Trump is abrasive, you know, I mean, but it doesn't take away from his message, I think.
But does Ben Carson come off weak?
No, not at all. Not at all. He's very, he's knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about. And he seems like a very nice man, too. To me, that's important. All right. Well, our guest is calling in, so we're going to head and go ahead and take our guest now. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Hey, this is Gear Ness. Hello?
Yes, Gear. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Gear, you're in L.A., but we couldn't get you to come in the studio, so we're happy to talk to you on the phone.
Wonderful.
Tell us what you're doing here these days, because I understand you're visiting, right?
Yes, I created the first fragrance from Norway.
A fragrance? And, like a perfume?
A perfume. Okay. What happened was I was a poor student. I didn't have any money, so I needed to make some money, so I started to work in a department store, you know, spraying people.
Right.
But, you know, we walk into a department store, you see those people that you try to ignore and go around. I was one of those people.
I always ignore them.
I know, they stand
so
there waiting.
While I was doing that, people asked me where I was from, and I said, Norway. And they asked me, does Norway have their own fragrance? And then I find out we never did. And
why do you think that is?
I don't know. We have so many fragrances from, you know, Italy, from France. So Norway was never really into great fragrances. More into, you know, we have our fabulous fish, we have our nature, we have oil, we have all those things. But they were never really, I don't even know. And I was curious myself. And then I find out that we didn't have any. So I said, maybe I should do this myself.
Right.
And that's how I started to think about creating this fragrance.
Wow. Very cool. How many years ago was that? When you first decided?
That would be like almost, I think, at least 15 years ago.
15 years.
Basically, wow. Since I was born.
I figured you sounded about 15, 16 years old. So.
Yeah, and then I wanted, you know, a name that meant something to me, because when I was very little, my mom always took me up to those mountains in Norway. So what I did when I created it, I went back to the same mountains and I collected different herbs and, you know, all those scents that was up in the mountains. And I copied my mom's signature without her knowing it. And I silkscreened her name on the bottle and I gave it to her for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So Lila is the name of the fragrance. That's the name of my mom as well. Because I wanted, you know, something that meant something to me personally.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. I mean, you know, how many people name their product after their mom, you know? It's pretty cool. Yeah. That's very nice.
And, you know, I'm lucky to have a great mom, and I love the name Lyra. I think, it's a name that you can pronounce anywhere in the world. So, you know, and all that. And I always, you know, mention my name, my mom's name, 100 times a day.
Yeah.
But sometimes they go with me on stage and some television stuff I've been doing, and she's coming with me, and, she's loving it too. So it's been a wonderful thing for me to do.
What does the perfume smell like?
It is, okay, if you close your eyes and you think you're on top in Norway, if you saw, like the movie, which is very popular, Frozen, the movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but probably a lot of your listeners have, but that up in the mountains, even if it's a cartoon, movie, but it's up in the mountain. It's something fresh, clean, light.
Wow.
I created a fragrance that, if you're allergic and sensitive, most people can wear it. You just feel good about yourself. You feel, energized, and that's what I wanted to capture in the fragrance. Like, that, if you can't go to Norway, you can at least smell like it. That's how I think Norway will smell. It's that scent.
Wow. So that's interesting. So you went up and collected plants and herbs and things like that, because I was wondering, how do you capture the smell of a mountain, But I guess
it's not easy. I actually worked on this for almost 4 years before it was the final product.
Mm-hmm.
Because, even if you find things that you like, but if you mix them, it doesn't necessarily smell great, So what I also added to the scent was a fresh lavender. We don't have a lot of lavender in Norway, so I had to go other places for that. But I added lavender to make it very soothing, very calming fragrance.
Mm.
And after we did that, I walked in the street and I asked people what they thought about the scent without telling them that I was behind it. And that way you get the honest truth, what people really think.
Mm.
And the response after I put the lavender into it was like, wow, it smells so good. What is the name? And that's what I come up with. I needed a name that meant something to me, and that's how I come up with the name Lyra, after my mom.
Right. Now, this seems like, creating a fragrance obviously is sounds like a very complex thing. How did you know how to go about it?
Well, so when I was working as, fragrance modeling in those department stores, I started to get a lot of contacts.
Mm.
When people launching new fragrances, so I started to ask a lot of questions and try to find out where to go, perfume houses, perfumers, and so forth. And I was lucky enough to meeting a perfumer in one of those launches for the new fragrance. I'm actually in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And he was very kind and wanted to help me. He thought it was so fun that, this young guy from Norway wanted to create his own fragrance. So I started to work with him, and he gave me a lot of ideas and go with him, and he helped me to find the way to do it, because you have to go to a perfume house to create the notes. I don't have a perfume house in my apartment.
Right, yeah.
So you have to find a perfume house, and then that's how you can buy it. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to create a fragrance, but I wanted, I didn't have any money, so I bought money from a friend of mine. I maxed up my credit card, and actually, when I created the fragrance, I created 1,000 bottles, which is nothing today. And when I had those 1,000 bottles, they were sitting in my apartment in Los Angeles, and I had to sell my clothes in garage sale to make rent because I didn't have any money.
Wow.
So then I got into Nordstrom's in one store, and they said, we're going to find out, how good your perfume are. We're going to get 100 bottles into one store, and you can see how much you sell in 3 months. And that was the day before Mother's Day. And I went to a garage sale. I bought a suit for $5. And at the garage sale, they had a red carpet laying there. So I got that for free. I called up a friend of mine that I knew. He was a photographer. I asked if he could come down and take a picture of me, pretend that I'm a big star from Europe.
Yeah.
And then we did all that. And people started to line up. It was the day before Mother's Day. And I sold out all the bottles in 1 hour.
Wow.
And that's how I got into Nordstrom's. And I had such a great relationship with Nordstrom's ever since, and now I do a lot of, trend shows with them, and it's really a great partnership that I had with the Nordstrom since the first day I I was there in a suit for my garage sale.
Yeah.
So it's been very, very fun. And it's good, it's also fun for me to tell people how to believe in yourself, because you have to believe in yourself when you start something, and especially if you have no money or nobody, around you that can really help you, only have yourself. So you have to really believe in yourself if you do that.
And how did you have that inside of you to know how to do that?
I was a tour guide in Spain. I started in Spain, and the reason I came to Los Angeles, I was doing a cabaret show for all the tourists, dancing, singing, and all that. And I met the producer, and he said, "You're so funny, should you warm with the craft?" So I started studying more acting and believing myself more that way. So I think the acting helped me believe in myself and believe that I can do things. And right. So the tour guide in Spain actually was one thing that helped me. And then from there, I worked in a lot of different small jobs and just tried to make a living out of myself. I come from a family that didn't have any money, so I had to make the money myself.
Right.
So I bought my first condo when I was 17 from money I started to work when I was 12, 13, getting, you know, newspaper. I was a newspaper boy, like one that delivered newspaper in the morning. So I woke up at 4 o'clock, newspaper, went to school, and I cleaned, you know, offices in the weekends, and I made my own money until I was 18, when I bought my first condo in Oslo in Norway.
Wow.
And so I was used to really work hard and, you know, get results and not depend on my parents or anyone else. So I think that was just part of it too, that the way my upbringing was as well, as the thing as a tour guide.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like you really know what, you know, at least you knew what you were doing and stuff. And obviously you're not lazy. And I think that's an important thing, you know, when you have the drive and you make things happen, you know, you don't have the money, you find it, you know. And
right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know many people that would take on such a an endeavor, you know, to come out with a perfume. It's not an easy thing to put together. You obviously need to rely on a lot of people, too.
Right, and it's, I never thought about creating my own fragrance at all until the people ask about, really, you know, and then I thought to myself, wow, it's right in front of me. People ask for something that's not available. Maybe I should look into it myself, and that's how I come up with the idea. It wasn't what I thought about before that. So I think, you know, we have to do is we want to create something and feel also what we like. I mean, I love people, and I always love scents, so it was actually not that difficult for me to come up with a decision after I realized what people were asking for. And, you know, now I've been traveling. I travel over 300 days a year and meeting people. And I've been working a lot of charity work and all that. And they're giving me a lot, you know. Back when people named their daughter after my perfume, that's how they met. They're coming up to me taking pictures. I worked with Disney now not long ago. Went Disney cruise in Norway, and this little girl come up with his mom, and the mom goes, "Oh, I named my daughter after perfume. It's my favorite perfume." And he did all the kind of stories that you do more than just selling. You know what I mean? You create a family, actually.
That's true.
So it's been really fun for me.
Yeah, people take their perfume seriously, I guess.
They
do.
Are you going to develop other perfumes in the same line?
I am. I'm actually having some other companies wanted me to create fragrances for them, and I also have some celebrities now that I've been talking to create something for them as well. But I also have a whole line of products. I have a new skincare line called Skin of Norway, like an anti-aging skincare line. One of the ingredients are a cloudberry from Scandinavia. That cloudberry has a lot of vitamin C, so it goes right into your skin, and it's building up dead skin cells. So that's in the product that people want now, because a lot of people have problems with the skin and people are sensitive and, you know, people don't want anything with paraben in it and mineral oil and all that stuff. So I've been working with some skin experts to come up with that line, and that I just launched that one, and I have a men's line that I named after myself. But didn't come up with a better name, so name of the year. So, and I have a whole product line, like lotion for dry skin, natural deodorant with no aluminum. I have, you know, so I have a whole product line under the brand Lila and Gear, and then I do the Skin of Norway. So I have all those things. And I also like to, you know, create things for other people and come up with ideas for people that want to start their own business, because I've done it myself, so I know what it takes, you know. Right. And I think the main thing for anyone that want to start their own business is to believe in themselves and never give up, you know, if you first started, and don't have negativity around you.
Yeah.
Just surround yourself with positive energy.
Right. Now, I see here also that you're attending an event Saturday, right? September 12th. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I'm in New York right now, but I'm coming to Los Angeles for the Bebo Award that I want to be part of. And that is, you know, to honor women that's been doing something very special and unique. So I'm going to give out an award in Los Angeles, and that's Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking really much forward to that.
That's
and
nice.
So I do different things all the time, but it's I just like to you know, to give back as well. You know,
right.
I mean, I've been so lucky that my business has been doing well, and then I just wanted to do things that mean something to me. So I work a lot with charity, like I've been working with abused children, I've been working with animal shelters, I'm doing a lot of different things. So
very cool.
So that makes me happy.
Yeah, you know? It helps give your life some meaning, you know.
We're yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's important.
Yeah. We're talking to Geir Ness. He's the creator of a Norwegian perfume called Lila, and also anti-aging skincare as well. I wanted to ask you, I guess on Lila, when did it first come out? Is it rather new?
Well, the Lila fragrance came out in late 97, 98. You know, it's going so fast. Just the Lila fragrance. And then I created my men's fragrance, and after that, I created all different items that goes with it. You know, lotion for dry skin, shower gel, and what have you. Then last year, I came out with Skin on Norway, my skincare line, which I'm adding more product to this year. And then I'm also developing other fragrances, you know, for other companies. Will probably be out in the end of next year. In the following year, and then I also working with nutritionists. I try to help people to stay healthy when they travel, what to eat, not to eat, because that's my background as well. I've been, you know, in the health and fitness industry since I basically was born. My dad was a ski trainer, so he taught me how to working out and eating healthy and so forth too. So I combine, you know, my skincare line with what to eat, because it's not just to put a cream on your face. You have to you know, eat healthy, because that's part of it as well. Not just to look good, but also for your health, you know, when you get older. So I try to combine all that together.
Great. Now, so what is the name of your company, the company that makes the perfume? Is it just
Curious? Well, so I'm working with different companies, you know. I'm working with a lot of different companies that create it, because the ingredients coming from all different sources.
Right.
I have ingredients coming, you know, from Norway, from the Nordic Sea, you know. So all that coming from different companies and into my own. And I have one filler, and then it comes all into my company, to Lila, which is the name of my company.
Okay, so that's the name of
your
company.
And then from there, we're shipping it out. So my company is the one that actually producing it.
Right.
Myself.
So the company is called Lila as well. That's what I was trying to
figure.
The company is called Lila, too.
Yes, called
right?
Lila. Exactly.
Right.
Lila
yeah.
perfume.
In addition
right.
to the perfume exactly. name, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Well, so where can people find this perfume and your line of skincare?
So if somebody go to Nordstrom, they're going to have it at Nordstrom's department stores.
Mm-hmm.
They have it at Nordstrom.com at their website, or I have my own website, which is laila.com. And on that website, I have all the every item I have in my line should be on my own website. And I also, if somebody visiting Disney in the Disney World at Epcot in Orlando, they have it at the Norway Pavilion at in Disney World.
Wow, very cool.
And if they want to meet me, I'm doing a lot of personal appearances around the country and with Nordstrom's and also Disney, and that will be on my website under laila.com. And they can look in and see where I'm going to be, especially with Nordstrom. I don't have everything I do on there, but most of the big shows I do with Nordstrom, the trend shows, will be listed on my website as well.
Sounds great. Geir Ness, creator of Lila, a Norwegian perfume. Sounds like a great smell. You know, that's one thing we can do in the interview is really sample the fragrance itself. But
I will be sure that I will send you something for both of you so you both can smell like Norway.
Oh, okay? Great.
So I will
thank
be sure
you.
To get it to both of you.
There you go. Well, Geir, thank
Absolutely.
You so much for joining us. The website again is Lila.com, right?
Yeah, Laila.com.
Right. And so you guys can find out more information there and get the perfume at Nordstrom and other places as well. And congratulations to you. This is very cool. And we wish you much more success in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course.
A great time in beautiful California.
Yes, we will. And you do the same when you come down here.
I will. I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
Okay. And get ready because it's really hot here. So.
Okay, I like it hot. You know, I'm from a cold country, so I like it hot.
That's true, right? But there are limits to how much heat a person can take, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Right.
But I don't mind it.
Cool. Gear, thanks again, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting, the stuff that people get into, you know?
Very.
And how they get into it is very
interesting. I guess if you find a need or, you know, a void, you create it, and then you have a business.
Right. And, yeah, and I mean, you know, you would think, you know, who is... who thinks that Norway doesn't have a perfume yet, you know? And
that wouldn't have been my thought, but then again, I don't really think about perfumes or Norway.
Right, or perfumes where they come from, period. You know?
Right.
We usually go for the way they smell, how they make us feel. And it's interesting because, you know, they promote these with, like, lifestyle commercials because you can't really convey the smell. So it's very interesting how to... like cosmetics and things like that.
Yeah. Do you wear a cologne?
I do.
What is it?
It's called Gucci by Gucci.
Okay.
And yeah, I like it. It's pretty cool. I've been wearing it for a couple of years now. And but you know, the one thing about fragrances is after a couple of times you don't even smell it anymore. Only other people do. You don't get to enjoy it like you do in the beginning where you can actually smell it all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a Gucci perfume also.
Do you?
Gucci Guilty.
Uh-huh. Is it pretty good?
I mean, I like it. I think the scent is appealing to me, but I don't know if everybody else likes it.
Right. Wow. It's interesting the names that they come up with, huh? Guilty.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool name, actually.
I think I got it in a gift bag. Yeah. I did.
Yeah. You see, these things are effective. You know, you sample something... You go, oh, wow, I like it, you know. So, oh, you mean the one you have is still from the gift bag?
It's from a gift bag, yeah.
Right. That specific bottle, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, so you haven't gone out and bought it?
No, I actually don't wear perfume all that often. Mm. I'll wear it when I go on, like, dates.
Right.
Or if I'm, like, going to, like, a nice event or a family dinner or something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just every day, I don't care what I smell like. Yeah. Sorry. I showered. That's about the extent.
Yeah. Which is, showering is barely what I had time to do this morning. I didn't tell you, but I'm like sleeping, right? And suddenly it just occurred to me in the middle of my sleep that the clock hasn't gone off. And sure enough, I'm turning around 9:05.
Oh, wow.
And I usually get up at 8:15.
Well, you got here on time.
I got here on time because I had to race. I didn't shave, as you noticed. I did take a shower. I didn't take the time to dress up or anything. But then again, it's too hot anyway to dress up, you know.
And no one sees us.
Right.
Well, unless we have a guest.
Well, but, you know, I mean, the rest of the day, too. You know, I have to look presentable.
True.
And stuff. But so I rushed this morning, actually. And that's not good for me because I like to take my time in the morning. But, you know, and the question is, why didn't the clock go off? And I have a feeling that maybe my maid did something to it, you know. Every time they clean, they do something to
Why don't you use the alarm clock on your phone?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's what I use.
I do. Yeah. Because I have an alarm clock and I can snooze it without having to look at it. With the phone, it's like you have to look at it. And did you notice now like to snooze, there's just like a little line of text you have to click on.
Tap the screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole screen so you can tap anywhere?
I don't know. That's what the line of text says.
Oh, okay. Because
I try.
Because when I tap it, it doesn't work. Only when I directly press that line of text. So, yeah, I mean, you're half asleep. How are you going to aim and... You know, but that's what's happened. So I don't know. But no, I use that for naps and stuff. But yeah, I guess I just have a... And it never happened to me. Never happened.
Where your alarm clock didn't go off?
Yeah.
Well, at least your internal clock woke you up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I thought, shit, you know, am I going to make it on time? Because I need to take my time in the morning. Otherwise, I'll be bitchy and stuff. But yeah. But I managed to have a few minutes with my coffee and stuff, so that was fine.
That's good. I actually got very little sleep last night.
Really?
Lauren and I had AfterBuzz. Uh-huh. And then we got an email from our agent that we needed to do something.
Really?
And we needed to turn it in before the end of the night. So she came over and we worked until 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And then I had to send her what we worked on. That took till like 2:30. And then I finally went to bed.
Wow.
So it was a long... We were actually commenting on the fact that we didn't know how you stay up and work. We don't have any idea.
Yeah, I know.
I become useless. Like, my brain just shuts down.
No, that's true. I get like that too, you know. I just get like a second wind sometimes. But I do get very tired around 12, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally I'm in bed by 11:30. Right. So to me, that was just painful.
Yeah.
We got it done. I can't imagine that, like, the second part of what we did came out good just because I think we just stopped caring at some point. But we got it done.
Yeah.
The point is, you got it done.
Good, good. And that's important. You know, as long as you get it done and you're committed to what you do, that's an important thing, you know.
Yes. Yeah. We're starting to tell people about our radio show.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
And so we're getting excited about that.
Yeah.
Getting our ducks in a row.
Great. Yeah, and, you know, and talking about things that you have to do. In fact, that's why I canceled the show yesterday, is because I had so much to do. And I figured if I don't take my time from 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm never going to finish this. And it's going to just, like, hang over me like a cloud.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, sometimes you do what you have to do to get things done.
Well, it's good you texted me so early, because I got up early and went back to bed.
Oh, okay, good.
Not for very long, but for a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't have that pleasure because I had to work. But still, you know, I mean, the thing is that you have to sometimes make arrangements and you can't miss deadlines, you know. It's just not...
No, you cannot.
No, it's not a cool thing.
I firmly believe in deadlines.
Right.
Deadlines are not suggestions.
Right.
That's the last possible time you can turn something in.
Right. Wow, which reminds me, I have a couple things I really need to do.
Well, good thing it's only 10:37.
Right. Yeah.
Plenty of day left. So the new iPhone came out. What do you think of that?
Oh, really? Because I only heard and read about the big iPad. What's going on with the new iPhone?
It's like the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, and apparently it's more sturdy. But I don't really know what else is different about it.
Yeah.
There's like a 3D something that happens with it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
To me, it looks the same.
Yeah, they usually do look the same when they come out with an S. But sometimes they come out with a new operating system and stuff. I don't think they came out with a new iOS.
No, but if there was a new operating system, wouldn't our phones just update too?
Yeah, they would. But that's what I'm saying. I didn't hear anything about a new iOS, so that's kind of strange.
Yeah. Okay, so it's made of like a tougher material, has a 3D touchscreen, and now it comes in rose gold. Not just gold, but rose gold.
Okay. So no innovation to speak of.
Not in my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, unless that thing can sing and dance on its own, I don't really know.
Right. I know. It's like, what do you add to it, you know? But that's what they're paid to do, is to come up with things that we didn't know we needed.
Well, I mean, I think they had to come up with something to replace the phone that was, like, breaking in people's pockets and bending and all that. So having it be stronger.
Yeah.
It's 7,000 series aluminum, the same material Apple uses in the watch. I guess because the watch makes sense. You can't bang it on a table and hope it, like, lasts, right. You know?
Yeah. Wow. You know, what's interesting, though, is Apple's stock has taken a beating lately. And they're saying investors are not impressed by the new things they're coming out with.
Well, they also came out with the bigger iPad.
Right.
But the bigger iPad is basically like a computer screen like we were talking about.
Right.
And also, it's like an iPad Plus that looks a lot like our old desktop, basically. And it has a stylus pen, which Steve Jobs was always against. Right. Stylus pens. He said that, you know, if you see a stylus pen, you blew it. Because the point is you write with your finger or whatever.
Right, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Although some tablets are still coming out with styluses, but I don't understand why. I guess for more precise things, you need it. You know?
Right. I mean, I'm not mad at it. I think it makes sense if you're like an architect or somebody that does design.
Right.
And you have to get in there. But otherwise, what do we need it for?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I'm going to Photoshop pictures, maybe, like all those people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. They were talking about Photoshop. Funny that you're bringing it up, because I guess what they wanted to do is show a demonstration of how to edit photos on the tablet. So they took a woman's face and that looked kind of unhappy, and they made her look happy and made up and stuff. So, of course, controversy on that too. I don't know why that is. Every time you involve women in something, there's controversy. You know, I mean, come on. You know, it's not a secret that people are attracted to beautiful women, you know.
Well, so what is the controversy exactly?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that they photoshopped a woman's face, you know. I mean, I don't understand, you know.
But there has to be a reason why they're saying it's controversial.
Yeah.
What is that reason?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to find out, you know. I guess, okay, so this woman is saying, oh, thank God we've made the men of Apple feel more comfortable with her facial expressions. So,
I mean, it's also just to prove a point. Like, they could have also made her a different color, and then it would have been a big deal. They could have added freckles, then she'd be like a freckle person. Like,
right.
Well, oh, how do you win?
Exactly. And what about making her smile? What's the big deal, you know? And besides, look, if you want to show that feature, you're going to have to feature a face. And that's the go-to thing, is beautiful women.
I'm just so tired of being politically correct.
Right.
I think that's where, like, I actually do agree with Trump. Like, while I don't necessarily think he should, you know, be in charge of our country or be the person to speak on behalf of all of us,
right.
I agree with not being politically correct.
Right.
That you, not everything you're going to say is going to be, like, agreed upon by every single person. It's just not going to be the case.
Yeah.
People have opinions. Also, people sometimes say the hard truth, which some people that are on the receiving end of that don't like.
Right.
But let's all not be victims. Let's maybe hear the words that are being said. For instance, did you hear about this video that came out this week called Dear Fat People?
I've heard about it, but I know there's controversy, but I don't know much more about
it. So, actually, Lauren and I did a video response to her video, because everyone's doing video responses and we're like, we can't ignore this.
Yeah.
Because, so this girl, Nicole Arbour, she does videos. She's a YouTube person, and her take on things is very harsh. The way she like talks is very direct. I relate a lot to her because I'm very direct too. If you're going to say something, like, sometimes there's not a soft way to say it, or maybe you just don't have time, or maybe who cares? Get over it.
Right.
Same information, just being delivered like straight to the hip. But so she went on and on about fat people, and a lot of things she says were correct, because she addresses that gluttons are gluttonous. So then they're going to get fat, and then they have health issues because of it. And then sometimes they become handicapped because of it. And then sometimes they get diseases because of it, and then they die because of it. And then they leave their families because they wanted to eat Snickers bars.
Yeah.
If you go back to like the bare minimum of that, it's like choices were being made.
True.
Okay, but then she also addresses people, and she says, this is not for the people that have real health issues that are larger because of that. Like, I know when you have lupus, you gain weight because you're on certain medicines. When you have, you know, certain things that are hereditary, you can't do anything about it. You are what you are. But she wasn't directing it at those people.
Right.
She was directing it at enabling people that choose to be fat.
And right, so the choice.
Right. And so she gives an example during the video of a family that she was next to in the airport line. And they're all fat people. And she says then they became disabled, and they put them in a golf cart. And then they got to be driven to the front of the gate. And then they sat next to her. And she's like, all of these things were done because you chose to eat the way you choose to eat. I mean, granted, she doesn't know if it was health issues across the family. She doesn't know if what their deal was. That's where she lost people, was because to say that that family was making bad life choices just because they looked fat doesn't mean that there aren't other issues down there. Mm-hmm. And also then a lot of people are speaking out about it because they're like, well, what if I have eating disorders and now I've fought very hard to have the opposite of an eating disorder? Well, let's all not be so extreme. You need to go to therapy, because otherwise you wouldn't be being, you know, anorexic or bulimic and then huge. Right. There's a middle ground where you can curb whatever it is you do and make different life choices. I get it. It's not easy. But at the same time, that's what she's saying.
Right.
Don't go for the wrong choices.
Right.
So, also, yeah. Don't be crazy, but don't go for the wrong choices. But so she says everything. It's so funny, I think. To me, she's like my spirit animal because the way she delivers information is very on par with mine.
So you knew of her before that?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay. Is she like... big on the internet?
Yeah. She is. And this one video, as of yesterday, had 2.3 million views.
Wow. Probably because it's so controversial.
Yeah, because she titled it Dear Fat People. Wow. And now everyone and their mom is doing a response.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
And it's just so crazy because it's like, what? Okay, you're responding, fine. But what about freedom of speech? YouTube actually took down her video.
Really?
Yeah, and put it back up. But yeah. Like... what about freedom of speech, guys?
Right.
YouTube, it's not like she's saying she wants to go kill people and mass murder. What about all the ISIS beheadings? Why are those up there anywhere?
Yeah.
You know, so why is there porn? Why are these all these things? This one girl is saying, fat people, I think you should make better life choices. I want you to stick around. She also says, think of me like your ride or die homie. I'm like your best friend. I'm going to give it to you straight. If you're dating a douchebag and you want to know what I think, don't date that douchebag. And she's really funny. I mean, you should see the video.
Yeah.
I think for what my point was, is that she uses like hyperbole to make a point. So just like comedians do. They say things that are so off the wall and ridiculous and offensive. But people still go to see them.
Yeah. And there used to be a song called Short People. And that was played all over. Nobody ever took it down.
Well,
you know, it wasn't very complimentary either.
Well, now people are... I mean, what about the fact that there are shows called, like, Little People of Los Angeles? Or, like, I don't know. There's weird shows on that are, like, about certain groups of people. This one girl does a 6-minute video and all hell breaks loose. There are 15-minute responses. People are sobbing. It's just the most dramatic thing ever. And it's like, don't be fat then.
Yeah. 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 But like you said, I mean, many people can't really help it. I know someone who's got an eating disorder, and she's battled it all her life, you know. And so, I mean, it's not just physical things that people are ill with, but there's mental things as well.
This goes back to my issue with mental health. People need more of...
Right.
You know.
But you're talking about the people that just love food and they eat.
She needed to specify more and be more specific about the fact she was talking about gluttons. Right. People that choose to be fat because they really just like to supersize their Happy Meal.
Right, right. Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
And that's also an American way. And then, so Lauren and I bring up the fact that there are many documentaries on the fact that our American food is way worse for you than any other food.
That's true.
We promote being lazy and, you know, there's a lot of things. So.
Yeah. I know. But there's something to be said for people that give it to you straight, you know, and that's why it creates controversy. But you're always going to find people getting offended by everything because people have to say just the way that they want.
Right. I'm surprised not more people are offended by me, but hey, thanks for not being offended by me, guys.
Yeah. Because you're giving it to them gently, maybe.
No, I'm not.
No, huh?
When have I done that?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Yeah.
But that's why, if you want certain, like, if you want my advice, you're going to know what you're going to get. If you want to be coddled, call someone else.
Yeah.
Never going to be me.
Yeah. Finally, did you hear about this transgender teen that is trying to use the bathroom in school and they're having a problem with that?
No.
In Missouri. I guess this transgender teen, her name's Lila Perry, that she began to feel like a girl when she was 13 and then started to appear in school as a girl. Now... she was found using the girls' locker room, and people were up in arms about this. Now, and claiming that it's just a guy with a wig. But you know what, Jen? I think they're right about that. You know, he's got a penis.
Yeah.
Male plumbing. And I think that... That's where he should be, is in the men's room. And so, but they offered her to have her own bathroom, and like a neutral bathroom. No, she didn't want it. Because everybody has to change the entire culture to accommodate one person. And we allow this, you know? And, okay, so one person is getting offended. You know what? There's a million things that happened to me that I could get offended about. But it's, you know, you don't go around and changing an entire thing just because one person is offended, you know?
No, everybody's offended. Yeah, always.
Exactly. So that's my opinion. If you have a, if you have male anatomy, you belong in the boys' room and not in the girls' room.
I agree. I think it has to do with anatomy.
Yeah. That's it does.
The whole point.
It does. I mean, if the girls don't feel comfortable there, that's enough to not justify that.
Right. Grouping like terms. Boys go in boys' rooms and girls go in girls.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that's it for today. Have a great, wonderful day. If you're in Southern California, try to stay cool. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.